Welcome to the Family Matters series on Charisma News. I'm Marty Pieper, and I'm delighted today to introduce my guest and my new friend, author and speaker, Dr. Magdalena Battles. Welcome, Dr. Battles.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Sure. I'm so excited to talk to you. One of the reasons that we at Charisma decided to offer this series is because we see the same thing you see. We see families struggling, and I guess maybe even a little more so. We're recording this at the time of the coronavirus pandemic, and your new book, I'm looking at it right here on my desk right now, Six Hidden Behaviors That Destroy Families. And I know you didn't write it for this season, but it certainly seems to apply. So I guess I want to start off by asking you that. What kinds of problems do you, I know you're a psychologist and counseling background, what kinds of problems do you see in families, especially related to this season?
Yes, I think that the behaviors that we're seeing now are the same behaviors that have been present in the past, they're just amplified. And So in my experience and, you know, having relationships with friends and families, leading Bible studies, and then working with clients in the past, I found that there were certain behaviors that people didn't even realize they were doing or that existed in their families. And that's why I call them hidden behaviors, because they could tell there was something wrong in their family and that things weren't going well, but they couldn't really pinpoint what it was. And some of these behaviors, they may not seem like really, truly harmful behaviors, because sometimes they're actually done out of love, such as criticism. You know, often people, they criticize their family members because they love them. They want to see the best for them in life, and they can
want
see
them
a
to
way,
get better. Yeah.
Yes, they see a way that things can be done better. But in the end, when there's too much criticism, it does have a destructive nature and effect on your relationships. So it's something we need to be cognizant about. But some of those other behaviors are failure to forgive or apologize. You know, some people, they just move forward. They want to, you know, just continue with the relationship and they don't apologize, but they move forward. But at the same time,
and act like everything's fine.
Yes, yes, exactly. But then on the other side, somebody is left hurt and wounded, and then they start harboring this resentment and lack of forgiveness because the person never apologized. So that's another underlying behavior and hidden behavior. Some others include gossip, lying and deception, and sometimes they can begin with little white lies, and often they arise out of sin, somebody trying to cover up their sin or to protect their family members from something they've done. So they lie about it. Well, those lies build and build and build. And it can destroy a family after it's been, you know, hidden secrets, you know, for years and sometimes even decades.
And then
the last two behaviors I discussed are lack of inclusion, or, you know, failure to include certain family members for whatever reason. Sometimes they think, well, this person doesn't want to participate. They usually say no, so they don't get asked. And it leaves the person feeling excluded from their own family. And then the final one is failure to accept differences, you know, accepting people for who they are, where they're at, and loving them just the way that they are.
I really, as a mom and as a fairly new grandma, my grandson is 2 years old. I really believe that, yes, it is an awe. Like everyone says, he's the light of our lives. But anyway, I definitely see these issues, and I've seen them through the years and how they've hurt my family and other families. One of the things that I thought was super interesting as a writer myself was this book, if I'm saying it correctly, actually grew out of an article you wrote that went viral, right?
That's correct. That's correct. And the article that I wrote was for Lifehack, which is a secular self-help website. And I'm one of the writers for them, and I have been for years. But
that's
this
so
article,
cool.
Yeah, it just really touched hearts, and people could relate to the material. And it really blew up online, and to my surprise. And so what I decided was, well, you know, maybe I need to approach a publisher and see if it's something that we should move forward with. And I moved forward with a Christian publisher so that I could integrate Christian solutions, because I believe it's so important to, you know, apply God's principles to our problems, because his ways are so much better than our own.
Amen. Now that was one of the things I really loved about your book, that it not only has practical advice, but it also has spiritual advice, biblical advice. And I hope I'm saying this correctly. It seemed to me that with every problem or concern or battle that you mentioned, you gave a biblical example and then lots of practical ones about how it's played out. Since not everyone has the book in front of them as we do, mm-hmm. could you possibly give example, take one of the battles and give okay. both a biblical and a practical example so our listeners can kind of get a picture of what I'm speaking about?
Yes, absolutely. So,
okay, great.
Let's look at criticism, and I'll give an example of that, and then I'll talk about the scripture behind it.
Wonderful.
So in Galatians, it is Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Actually, I'll do the scripture first so it makes more sense. So
okay.
it says, brothers, if anyone is caught up in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him to it in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch of yourself, mm-hmm. lest you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So it's saying, if you're going to see somebody that has that's doing something wrong, sinful, and so say you have a family member who has a problem with drunkenness, they have a problem with alcohol, rather than just telling your family member and being critical, you know, every time you see them bringing on another beer, you go, oh, you're going to have another drink. Oh, there he goes again. Or saying, you need to go to rehab. It's been too much. You know, those all just hurt and break down the relationship. Those aren't helpful comments. And that's
right.
often what families do. We end up saying things, little jabs, because we see they have a problem and we want them to fix it, you know, because we want them to have a good life. But sometimes we don't look at what God tells us to do, and that is to bear one another's burdens. It says in Galatians 6, 1 and 2, if we're going to correct them, we need to bear the burden with them.
Mm.
And what that can look like in this type of situation is, instead of going to your, you know, brother the next time you're at a party and seeing that they're drinking, instead of addressing it in that moment, because that's probably going to lead to an argument, say,
sure.
you know, say you to them, I'd like to set up the coffee with you sometime, or let's go out for lunch. Treats on me. I just want to chat with you. And then that would be the time that you bring up, you know, I see that, you know, you have this problem with alcohol, and I want to help you if you're interested in pursuing help. And you say that, I'm saying this because I love you and I want the best for you and I want our relationship to grow as well. And how I can bear this burden with you is I researched some programs that are in your area where you can seek treatment and they're free. And I'd even be willing to go to the first meeting with you to walk alongside you and help you through this. Now that
Ooh.
Is truly bearing the burden and saying, I want to walk alongside with you and partner with you to bear this burden with you. That way they don't feel like they're alone. That's what family is supposed to do. We're supposed to be together, stick with one another, and help one another through our problems.
Oh, I love that. That is exactly what scripture talks about. And I love the way the practical examples, scripture really is practical. But we tend
yeah.
to skip over some of those things, or we think, oh, that was for then, and we don't necessarily apply it to what we're
right.
seeing today. Now, I want
yes.
to speak a minute to, I told you before we started recovering, I love the cover, but I also, the cover is kind of scary because it says six hidden behaviors that destroy families, and the destroy is, I'm a creative artistic type person, the destroy
yes.
is in this red, and but it really points up to me the spiritual
mm-hmm.
battle that families are facing today. I would love it, Dr. Battles, if you would speak to that just a little bit. Do you believe there are forces that are attacking families beyond what we may think of in the 1, 2, 3, 4?
Oh, absolutely. I strongly believe that Satan is attacking families. What better way to destroy a nation and to destroy the world than to start by attacking families? Families are what God created us for. When he created Adam, he saw that it wasn't good. So he created Eve, and then he told them to procreate and you know, have children, which is the very first human relationships ever created was family. And he did that because he wanted to see relationships in action. He, you know, God wants relationships, not only with us.
Yes.
You know, he says that one of his greatest commandments in Matthew 22, the two greatest commands are first, love him first and foremost, and then second, to love others as you love yourself. And the people that he put in your life, first and foremost, are your family members. You know, that wasn't on accident.
That's exactly right.
So Satan definitely wants to attack our families because those are the people that God put in our life on purpose. And so the destruction of the family is the way that Satan destroys us as individuals, and it destroys nations. And so, you know, restoration in our lives happens when we look back to God, look at his solutions, and then we begin working on it ourselves. You know, we partner with God to work on these family issues ourselves. Because I say that in a manner so that people don't think, oh, well, I don't know how I'm going to fix my family members. No, you can't. You know, we can be an example of how to do things, and that's probably the best way to do things. If we go and tell our family members, you need to do this, you need to do that, that usually doesn't go so well. what always works best is being the person who you know, takes action and is the agent of change within the family. So it begins with each one of us. And none of us is perfect human beings, but we can do better and we can try harder. And trying harder means just applying God's word. So sometimes it's actually easier too, once we realize, you know, God's ways are actually easier in the long run. So we need to dive into his word and use his solutions, you know, to have family relationships and have restoration.
Exactly. You know, I am so thankful I came to Christ as a young adult, and I'm in college, and I'm so thankful that I didn't have to raise my family without the Holy Spirit, without the tools of Scripture, because it's hard with those assets. I can't imagine trying to do it on the other side.
Yes.
Now, what about right now? I know I mentioned that earlier, but let's say a parent. We hear about this. We're reading about the additional stress on families, people turning to terrible avenues in order to deal with stress of being at home, locked up with family members. What do you do when someone calls you or comes into your practice or whatever? What do you do when they say, I just can't handle my family right now? What are some of the first things you say, Dr. Battles, to try to encourage someone to all of these things we've been talking about?
Yes. Well, I would say that God heals. God is the ultimate healer, and he can do things in our family and in ourselves and give us strength that we don't have on our own. So we need to turn to him first and foremost and say, God, you need to give me strength. And it says that in Scripture, if we seek him, he will give us strength that is greater than our own, that is, you know, beyond our own understanding. So we need to be able to look at ourselves and say, I am weak. I do need Christ. I need God, because that is what where the solutions are to be found. And so, you know, no family is perfect and no person is perfect. And that's one of the best encouragements that we can have for one another is we're not expecting you to be perfect. We're not expecting anyone to do everything right, but we can turn to God and he can help us to do things in a better way.
That's wonderful. Now, if you were going to give, let's say, three takeaways from your book. That's not a magic number. If you have two or four, that'll be okay too. But if you were going to give me three main points that you would want families to know, what would those be?
I would say that forgiveness is essential to relationships. And even if somebody hasn't apologized, that doesn't mean we shouldn't forgive them. Scripture repeatedly tells us to forgive, and it doesn't say in Scripture, oh, you forgive if they do this, this, and this. You know, they have to come to you with an apology. They have to be repentant. It doesn't say any of that. It repeatedly says in Scripture that we are to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. And with that knowledge, we need to have forgiveness in our hearts. And let go of resentments and past hurts, because that's what's keeping us from having relationships with our families. And that doesn't mean that we let our guard down and let them betray us again. You know, if there are things in areas of their life where they can't be trusted, for example, maybe a family member borrowed money and they said they would pay it back and they never did. So you have hard feelings. You can let go of that resentment and say, you know what, I'm going to let that go. That money is gone. Scripture says that when you, you know, lend money, just consider it given.
Yeah.
So we need to apply that principle and just say, you know what? It's water under the bridge, and I'm going to move forward because I don't need this hardness in my heart either. And then you move forward, but it doesn't mean that you, the next time they come to you asking for money, that you give them money. You know, you can have an honest conversation and say, you know, for the sake of our relationship, I'm not going to do that because I know that last time it didn't work out so well and I had hard feelings and I've forgiven you. It's water under the bridge. We're going to move forward with our relationship, but I just feel that that's not something I can do right now. They're going to have a better understanding of why, you know, because they, you know, did not pay you back, but you can put boundaries up, when you have, situations like that. So you don't have to set yourself up for hurt once again, but you should take away the resentment, take away the hardness of the heart. That's essential to, having relationships. And, let me think, another principle. Inclusion. I would say inclusion is another big one. Family members often don't include people because they think, well, you know what? They never show up to the events when invited, so we're just going to stop inviting them. Or, you know, families do family vacations, and then they only invite certain people because, you know, they only certain ones they think can afford it, so they leave the others out. That leaves people feeling very hurt. They feel that they're not wanted or that they don't belong in their own family because they're not being included. We need to make sure that we create opportunities for family members to get together. So if you're going to have a family vacation, and my extended family does this. We have, my parents had 6 kids, and we do family vacations. And we've chosen to do, in the past, we've done campsites, campgrounds. So some people can rent cabins, some people can tent, and some people can bring their camper. You know, it makes it very feasible for everybody to be included, because when people aren't included, it just makes that people feel hurt if they're not invited. And we've done the same thing with cruises. We'll pick a very inexpensive, you know, 4-day cruise that we found a good deal. But then people who want to upgrade and have a suite, great, they can do that. People who want to, you know, just spend $300 and stay in the stateroom, they can still afford that. So we try to do things in a way that it's inclusive of everyone. Because again, when family members aren't included, it makes them feel not wanted.
It hurts. Sure.
And then the other principle that goes along with that is acceptance. So sometimes people aren't included because there is some lack of acceptance going on. You know, they say, well, this person has, you know, is kind of a black sheep of the family. You know, they're the liberal and they believe completely different things, or they have a different sexual lifestyle even. And that can be hard for people to accept. Now, I'm not saying accept somebody's sin. I'm not even going to go into that, but God never says that we have to accept sin, but he tells us to love one another, and loving one another means accepting the person themselves. And that means including them. So if you have a family get together, invite that black sheep. They shouldn't be left out on the sidelines because they have different beliefs or have a different lifestyle, or, you know, are on completely different ends of the spectrum politically. They still need to be included. Nowhere does it say in the Bible that family is supposed to be exactly the same, that we have the same religion or same, you know, habits or ways of parenting our children. No, we're all very different people, and that's okay. God made us all different, but he also asks us to treat one another as we want to be treated. We don't need to say, oh, I agree with you. You know, you can have differences of opinion. That's okay. But you do need to just love your family for who they are, where they're at this point. Okay, the final principle that I want to include is being accepting of your family members, because that goes along with inclusion. A lot of times families don't accept or include their family members because they're not accepting of certain things about that person or their lifestyle. They may have, you know, be completely opposite side of the spectrum politically, or they might have an alternative lifestyle, things that you consider sinful or, you know, go against God's ways. But we're all sinners. We are all sinners. All
for
sinned,
sure.
Yeah. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need Christ. And that's why we need forgiveness of one another and also acceptance. We need to love one another and love our family members where they're at this point in life. Because guess what? If a family member doesn't feel included or accepted, they're going to turn to other people and turn to other things that are probably even more extreme. So how can they see the love of Christ if they're not even around you? So it's important for us to, you know, be the person who, you know, exemplifies Christ by being loving and accepting. And it, again, it doesn't mean accepting somebody's sin or their lifestyle, but it does mean accepting them as a person, just as Christ accepted those around him. You know, God or Christ surrounded himself with sinners. And he was a very loving leader, and we need to act more like Christ and be loving to our family members, regardless of how extremely different they may be from us. Because when family members don't feel accepted, they don't feel loved by their family.
Right, and we could actually be a part of turning someone away from Christ rather than turning toward him because of our behavior that doesn't reflect Jesus. And I know most of the people who listen to this podcast would never want that. And who would want to be driving someone away from their family or worse, away from the Lord?
Yes, you're right.
Again, you've written this book to really prepare families because, as you say, every family has issues. No one's perfect, and we all need Jesus. So you're offering practical and spiritual tips. But there's one more thing that I want to ask before we close. Dr. Battles, would you take time to pray for our listeners, please?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Dear Lord, thank you for these listeners and the opportunity to learn more about you, Jesus, and to just draw closer to you, God. We are so thankful for the family members that you've given us. Even through the trials that we have and the difficulties that we have, Lord, we know that you place these individuals in our life for a reason. So, Lord, please help us extend an olive branch and help our families to become closer and more loving through our own actions, Lord. Just please touch our own hearts, our own minds, and help us be agents of change in our own family, Lord. Just be representatives of Christ in our families. Thank you, Jesus, again, for your message, your words of guidance that we can get through scripture so we know how to solve our family problems. Thank you, Jesus, for our families. And thank you again, Lord, for these listeners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you again. I know I've expressed my gratitude throughout this, but I really do want to thank you for sharing your time and especially your wisdom with us today. So thank you so much. And listeners, I want to thank you too. We never take you for granted. And we hope that you'll look for more episodes of the Family Matters series on Charisma News.